Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Alice G. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Wisconsin. Today is Tuesday, February 1st, 2022, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 163, paragraph 3. Our friend proceeded to tell him. Today's readers are Terry H. on the 12 Steps, Rhonda R. on the 12 Traditions, Barbara W. and Dana and Shelley E. are readers of the text. The reference number for January 31st, 2022, Monday, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,486. That's 18486. And for Tuesday, February 1st, 2022, 7 a.m. meeting, 18,491. That's 18491. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors, compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry H. to read the 12 steps for us, please.
Good morning, Alice. Thank you for your service. This is Terry H. from Pensacola, Florida, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve. With that, I pass.
Alice, we can't hear you.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you for reading the 12 steps. I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Alice. Thank you for your service. This is Rhonda R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Georgia. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to do service today. I'll pass.
Thank you, Rhonda. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. I will be timing and give you a heads up if you go over time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter A Vision for You. We are on page 163, paragraph 3. Our friend proceeded to tell him, and I will now ask Barbara W. to begin reading for us, please.
Good morning, Barbara W. here from Seattle, Washington. Always glad to serve. Our friend proceeded to tell him, and with such good effect that the doctor agreed to test among his patients and certain other alcoholics from a clinic which he attends. Arrangements were also made with the chief psychiatrist of a large public hospital to select still others from the stream of misery which flows through that institution. All the hope is just screaming out of this paragraph, because they've realized that this is a possibility of recovery. They had already seen the effect on some of the people. And they just knew that they had to get going. All these psychiatrists and whatever counselors and whatever doctors, they knew that this was important because they had seen recovery in alcoholics and recovery that lasted. I don't know who's making all these arrangements, but obviously it says our friend proceeded to tell him. And who that friend was. It could be one of us today telling another compulsive overeater. There's a woman near where I live, and she's already made an overture. She heard me say something that she said, "Oh, you must be a friend of Bill W." And it opened the door. So maybe she is someone I can reach. see is another compulsive overeater. So I'm grateful for that opportunity. I'm in a new place, been here about 3 months, and it's just amazing. And I can see yesterday, oh, I have to mention this. Yesterday, I was on the phone with my sponsees, and at the end of the day, I felt such peace and calm and assurance in my recovery. It's like, and one of these sponsees, one of them has a chronic illness, one of them is brand new and is showing great enthusiasm, and I'm seeing my ability to sponsor them, how much I'm learning, and how much these people, these women, are going to pass it on to others that they know, even if it's just one. And I think with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. I will now take a list of names, and please just remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you guys can just say your name once and clearly, one at a time, I will take a list of names. Thank you.
Michelle F.
Donna, is that Michelle?
G. Yes.
Michelle F. Okay, who is next?
Donna B.
Donna B.
Nicole. Sue Andy B.
Nicole.
Sue Ann D.
Sue Ann or Luann?
Sue Ann.
Thank you, Sue Ann.
Becca R.
Becca R. Go ahead. Anybody else? Okay, we'll start there. Just star one to mute your phone unless you're Michelle S. And Michelle S., please share with us and share where you're from. Thank you. Oh, I should say I got my lineup is Michelle S., Donna B., Nicole, Sue Ann, and Becca R. Go ahead, Michelle S., please share with us. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for your service. It's Michelle F., as in Frank. From Worcester, Massachusetts. I didn't think I would get in first, so yay, I'm grateful for that. I wondered what I was going to be able to add to this, and something that struck me yesterday and today is they're not naming names. They're trying to keep these people anonymous. So they're just saying our friend. And the thought occurred to me that if I do want to share a good story or something that I hear, I should ask that person from where it originated for permission before I go. Because even trying to be anonymous, sometimes details can identify people, you know. So I'm always trying to be mindful of working on keeping anonymity, which is something I need to work on. But also, I try not to shy away from sharing about my experience, especially when I go to the doctors or when I go to the psychiatrist, or, you know, if it comes up in conversation, you know, I just share my experience. And if people will say, oh, isn't that religious? I say, you know, no, it's spiritual. And I make sure and let people know that there are agnostic AA and that, you know, you don't have to have a firm belief in God in order to get recovered. You just gotta try it, you know. And I try not to sell a program, but I probably do give it a hard sell. But I also have taken the professional literature to my doctors and given them that so that they have it. And I put my number and name as a contact too. And I have gotten 2 calls from churches for people who were seeking help for a parishioner. And I was able to give them the OA information. And that is such a joy to be able to share this program. That's 12-step work in action. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michelle F. from Massachusetts. Donna B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. And what struck me in this sentence is the stream of misery from misery which flows through that institution. I have been in OA since 2001, and I have seen a stream of people come and go and come and go and come back and go and come back. So this metaphor of a stream of misery, when I close my eyes, I can literally see, you know, faces that I have seen over the years and then disappeared into the ethers. And it reminds me that, you know, this program isn't for everybody. And the work that I do to continue to grow in understanding and effectiveness is not something that everyone is willing to do. And just as I cannot stop a stream in nature, right, I can't stand in the middle of the stream and stop the water from moving. There's not a lot I can do to stop the stream of misery which flows in and out of the rooms. I have my experience, strength, and hope, and I have the directions as they're written in the big book. I have the instructions for taking people through the work as I was taken through the work. And to the best of my ability, I make myself available to that stream of misery by sharing the truth of myself and my story. And maybe it will appeal and maybe it won't. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. from Colorado. Nicole, please star one to unmute, and please share the first initial of your last name and where you're from.
Sure. Good morning. I'm Nicole D. as in David, and I'm calling from Vineland, New Jersey. And, you know, I was introduced to OA when I was 15 years old. I'm now 52. And I found Vision actually 3 years ago. Actually, it was introduced to me. And I was thinking about this line that says, our friend proceeded to tell him. And I was thinking how the program really started via word of mouth and how today, you know, at my fingertips, I have access to what it means to be recovered. I have access to people who can explain the steps to me, who can explain the big book to me. And what was so important to me when I found Vision was that out of all the years that I was in program, I never learned how to work the steps until I found people at the Vision meetings and the wonderful podcasts. And when it talks about, you know, the stream of misery, it's like when I think about myself, and sometimes I really, really hate my disease, and when I forget that I take for granted that I have at my fingertips a fellowship. I have at my fingertips a God squad where I could do a 10-step. I have at my fingertips people that I could call that are newcomers. I have at my fingertips an ability to put myself out as a sponsor and practice step 12. And I forget. I can only imagine what it was like for them. They were scrambling by the seat of their pants in order to spread the message, in order to find people to work with, in order to build this God squad. And yet at my fingertips, I have that. And so I think what this paragraph reminds me is, Nicole, be grateful. Yes, you have a devastating, awful, rotten disease, but at your fingertips, you have a kit of spiritual tools that you could pick up At any moment that you decide that suffering is optional because I have the treatment right in front of me. And what's really funny is that when I sometimes become like a toddler and my hands on my hips. I don't want to. But when I pick up the steps, when I pick up the tools, I feel so wonderful. It's I'm such an intellectual, and the way this program works, it escapes my intellect. But again, you know, I come back to our friend proceeded to tell him, and you know, I can't imagine again. And I'm just so grateful for this program. I'm so grateful to Vision and the podcast and the people who share and remind me what it means to be recovered. So thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you, Nicole D. from New Jersey. Sue Ann, please share with us and the first initial of your last name and where you're from.
Hi, I'm Sue Ann. I'm a compulsive overeater from New York. And this morning, before I even opened my eyes, my heart was beating quickly, and I felt like I had my toe in that stream of misery. And when I read this, it clarified for me that I needed to feel that and acknowledge it, reach out to my higher power for strength and support, and pick up the phone and be at this meeting, because although I need to feel my feelings, it doesn't mean that I have to torture myself with these feelings, which will only lead me to a relapse. And I'm newly abstinent from a long relapse. And as I reached out on the phone and heard the paragraph, heard people talking about the program, my dread and misery dissipated, and I felt like I wasn't alone. And that's the key for me. I'm not alone because I have my higher power. I have my sponsor. I have all of you loving people that I can contact. And I have meetings that I can go to almost any time during the day. So I have a huge safety net under me. And I look forward to a time when I have abstinence long enough that I can be one of those safety net, one of the tools of the safety net for other people as a sponsor. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sue Ann from New York. I will now ask Becca R., please share with us and where you're from.
Hey, it's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Kentucky. And I just wanted to share what came up for me was the evidence. I'm a very scientific gal. I want to see your evidence. And that's what my fellows shared with me, was the evidence of what had happened in their lives. And I heard recently, you know, if I had come in and somebody said, here, it's God. God's what's going to get you in the right body size. God's what's going to get you sane. I probably wouldn't have stayed. But in my vanity, I saw people in normal body sizes who looked very happy and very at ease. And I can remember sitting in meetings and seeing people rest their hands on their thighs and just be very content in their body. And that spoke to me. And what I learned from their shares and their experience is the evidence of the steps and working the steps, finding a higher power. And yes, ultimately it was God. But it was that process of watching and seeing. They didn't have to sell me on it. All I had to do was watch and listen to their experience, strength, and hope. And as a recovered person today, I can see the God in you, speak to the God in me. Sadly, when I came in, I was so vain. I was just looking. And that recovery was possible too. I could see recovery in people's bodies and in their smiles and in their ability to just sit and be still in their own bodies. And that was very attractive to me. Glad to be here this morning. That's all I have, Pat.
Thank you so much, Becca R. from Kentucky. I will now take another list of names. And again, we are on page 163 of the big book. Our friend proceeded to tell him in the third paragraph. So star one to unmute. And if people could just give me your name one at a time, that would be great. Sorry, I didn't catch that.
This is Elaine from New York.
Elaine.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Chrissy F.
Okay. Where are you from, Chrissy?
Oregon.
Okay. Anyone else? Star one to unmute.
Jordan L.
Sharon W.
Jordan L.
Stacey A.
There was a couple Joan people
R.
before you, Stacey A.
Lorraine.
Sharon
E.
W.
Lorraine. And I think I heard a Karen.
Sharon.
Sharon, thank you. Stacey.
Joan R.
Joan
Stacey A. from New York.
Got it, Stacey. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think I can take a couple more. Well, we'll start there. Okay, Elaine from New York, please give us the first initial of your last name and share with us. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Elaine.
Okay, my last initial is G.
Thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
About this paragraph, it's... very strong paragraph. I mean, like, the way I think about it is, like, a situation I went through yesterday where my disease was really calling me. And I was really down and out because of my sister's friend, who I knew very well. He died yesterday from shoveling the snow with a massive heart attack, and it was like a shock. And then all of a sudden my mind went like, I don't know, I couldn't think straight, but my disease came into play. Like, look, it's almost dinner time. You don't need to make that, you know, burger that you want to eat. And go order in. I mean, like, you know, you're having a rough time. I said to myself, ay, ay, ay. But anyway, the way I dealt with that, the program... is, oh boy. Hold, I'm gonna have to get back to you.
Thank you, Elaine G from New York. Chrissy F from Oregon, please share with us. Chrissy, star one to unmute.
Oh, hi. Yeah, this is Christy M. from Oregon, and I'm grateful, recovering bulimic and anorexic. I'm glad to be on the meeting this morning, and I really, in listening to this paragraph and everyone speaking, I've really been thinking about, you know, this the misery, dipping our toe into that. And I think when I came into program, I obviously was miserable. I think misery is what brings a lot of us to OA is just desperation for a solution. I was miserable. And I think I thought that I could become unmiserable by changing everything around me or by changing my body or image. If I would just lose a certain number of pounds, if this person would just stop doing this, if I would have a different job. So all these things that were outside of my control. That if I could just do all these things, then, you know, I wouldn't be miserable anymore. And I think the real, I guess the real learning or lesson for me is that the misery was in my head. You know, it's part of my disease, it's part of this spiritual and emotional malady of having an eating disorder. And I think that's what's really empowering about this program is that, you know, when misery and everything that makes you miserable is either outside of your reach or, you know, has to do with the world around you that you can't change. I spent so much of my life trying to change people, places, and things around me, thinking that that was what was going to make me happy. And really, all those things are outside of my control, and it just made me more miserable. And I think that's what's empowering is that, you know, when the misery is in my head and my heart, like, there's something I can do about that, right? Like, that I have agency over that. You know, I think the other piece of that is also a lot of that has to do with my relationship with my higher power. Sometimes my misery is outside of my own reach, and that's why I have a higher power, a power greater than myself, that I get to turn things over to that can change my heart. I think that's part of the fourth step as well, is like looking at all those pieces and my character defects that are contributing to my own misery and allowing my higher power to work on those and lift those things and change those things one day at a time. So, you know, it's not that I don't ever feel miserable. Everybody, I mean, we have all have those days, but I think what's different now is I have the tools to get out of that headspace. You know, I get to, like this morning, call into a meeting. I get to call a sponsor, call someone in program. I get to meditate and pray to my higher power. I can journal. And I have all these tools that help change my perspective. You know, I have gratitude. That's a real antidote to misery, is instead of looking at everything that's going wrong or isn't right, I get to be grateful for the things that are. And I think what I've come to accept is it's never going to be perfect, right? There's always going to be something in life that I want to change or I'm not happy with, but I get to have gratitude anyway. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Christy M. from Oregon. Jordan L., please share with us.
Hey, good morning. My name's Jordan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. The word that jumped out to me this morning was test. and I wasn't sure about this, you know? Like, I remember very distinctly getting on, especially this meeting, for my first 3 months of abstinence and listening to what people had to say pretty intently. I was definitely intrigued, for sure, but listening to what people had to say, and I don't know, there was a part of me that it just sounded too good to be true. For me, the stream of misery was my life prior to I wouldn't say coming into Overeaters Anonymous, but prior to really starting to understand what the practice of the 12 steps looks like in daily life. and so that's what I was doing. I was just testing this. This may be sacrilege, but I was testing a higher power too. I was testing like some ideas that I had about a higher power. I was questioning the ideas that I had about a higher power prior to coming in here. Questioning whether or not I wanted to keep those ideas and were they serving me and were they valuable, and I was listening to what other folks had to say about the relationship that they had with God. So it wasn't about what their higher power was, but how it was that higher power showed up in their daily life, and how it was that individual practiced and participated in an actual relationship with the God of their understanding, you know? And I was just testing. It was like a giant experiment. There's a talk by someone who got sober very early on in Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's exactly what he talks about. He talks about just testing this out, seeing if it works, the divine experiment, if you will. and I'm very grateful that that stream of misery got me to a point where I was open enough to test this out and see how it was going to go for me. Thank you for letting me share. That's all I have.
Thank you, Jordan L. from Colorado. And Lorraine, press star 1 to unmute. I didn't catch the first initial of your last name and where you're from.
Hi, my name's Lorraine. I'm from Seattle, and the last initial of my name is E. Thank you so much for your service. And this concept of misery, I heard someone say on a meeting once, that being in this disease is like being in prison. Only in prison, you don't have the key. So for me, I have the key. I have that key to the disease, which is these steps, following directions, being humble, stop resisting. So that's the key for me. But sometimes I can't get the key. I can't use the key. I can't access the key because I keep resisting. I don't want to follow directions. I don't want to do what I'm told because I'm so willful. And I don't like the idea that my ideas don't work. And I don't like the idea, most of all, losing control. But what I've learned from this program is I have no control. I'm absolutely powerless over everything. So if that's the deal, if I know I'm fully powerless, well, people in this program, they are living examples that this program works. If I follow the steps, if I do what they've done, you know, if I want to get what they've got, I've got to do what they've done. I can't interpret it and try to keep doing things Lorraine's way because that's what I've always tried to do and it never works. I was on a meeting recently and it really made me laugh. Try OA for 30 days, give it a try. And if it doesn't work out, we'll double your misery back. And I think that's the funniest and truest thing I ever heard. What did I have to lose by following the directions? What did I have to lose by doing the program as it stated in the big book? Nothing. I was in hell. So without this program, you know, I looked at everything in my life as miserable. My boss, my friends, family, oh, this, that. Everything was miserable except for me. And I couldn't see. The misery was in my perspective. It's how I saw everything. But one day at a time, I don't have to live like that. I can be recovered and live in the solution. So I'm just so grateful for this meeting. And I'm pretty new to this meeting. I don't know if we leave numbers. I know it's recorded. So I'll leave my number. I'm not sure if I should.
There's a time for that at the end if you're willing to sponsor, or if you're a newcomer to this meeting, you can leave your number.
Oh, great. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yep.
For that.
There'll be a time at the end. Thank you, okay. Lorraine.
Great. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Sharon, star 1 to unmute and share
Hi.
With us, please.
Thank you. This is Sharon W., gratefully recovered in Los Angeles. Whenever I share, I get so nervous that I'm going to just kind of babble and not give a message. And now especially there's so many things that this brought up for me. Everyone, some days are, you know, every once in a while you're going along, you're recovered, and then, you know, there's a bump in the road and you think, you know, what's going on? Well, you know, the misery in our program is great. And though I usually sponsor I'm active in my meetings and vision, I've gotten kind of careless over the last couple of weeks, thinking I've got this. Meditation started to slip. sponsoring was I wasn't looking for new sponsees. And I even made a comment to my husband, well, so-and-so was sober, and I don't remember him sponsoring. And I thought, oh, God, what's happening to me? And then I was on a meeting recently where I thought that the misery I was hearing on the meeting was negatively impacting my recovery. And that was such a big awakening for me. I was there. My higher power put me in this meeting to share something with those that were still miserable. And, you know, I completely missed on that call, on that meeting, missed it until later that day. And then finally yesterday was a day where I thought everything had gone wrong for me. Little things, you know, nothing big, you know, just a stream of little things. And by the end of the day, I realized that my program and my worrying about me, and not looking to be of service to other people was about to take me down just before my 2-year recovery mark. And so I thank my higher power for that message, that wake up call. And I will be here, whether those are in this, anyone I can help, because without that, recovery isn't possible. That's what I've learned. Without sharing this message, my recovery will be no longer. So thank you for letting me share. I will definitely stay on the line to give my number at the end of this meeting. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sharon W. from California. ACA, please star 1 to unmute and share with us. Stacey A, star 1 to unmute.
Did you say Stacey A?
I did.
Okay, hi. I couldn't hear you. Sorry. Thank you. Just reading that paragraph, I've been in OA since December of 2020. I've had my shares of relapses and stuff. Going into step 4 with my sponsor now, finally. And just yesterday, a coworker of mine who I used to work for, I'm a teacher, was an alcoholic. And he passed away over the weekend. I'm not sure, from shoveling, whatever it was. And it really hit home yesterday. Because when I was working with him as a teacher, I was really in my disease of bulimia, taking laxatives and spitting, chewing out food, over-exercising, restricting. I never threw up as of a bulimic, but, you know, I'm laxative abuser, pretty strong. And I just cried, you know, for the loss of a coworker who I was close with, but also that if I didn't start recovery even 2 years ago on this journey, I'm still on this journey forever now in OA, I could die. And I look back and, you know, we try to get my coworker help. We said, go to rehab, because he would come into work drunk at times and stuff, and we would send him home and we covered for him to help him out because we were a family. But looking back, as she said, I don't want to die. You know, and I'm forever grateful for the people I've met at OA, the fellowship, my people I've met who've helped me even when I've hit rock bottom time still in this past year at times, that I'm here and I'm home. And I want to be here. And I've never left since I've entered these rooms. And I just want to say to anyone who's, you know, maybe listening and, you know, they're like, why am I here? Just stick with it. Even in your darkest days, there are brighter days. You might not think so, but there are brighter days. If you just have hope in yourself and believe in a God or a power greater yourself or a spitter, or a spirit or something, there are brighter days ahead. And that's all I have to say. Thank you so much. And my name is Stacey from New York City, and I love outreach. Thank you so much for this meeting also. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Stacey. And Joan, please star one to unmute.
Hi, this is Joan R. from Oregon. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you, Joan.
Not sure if I... Okay. Anyways, I just really love all the shares. I'm so privileged to be on the meeting this morning and to be working an abstinent program with my sponsor and, you know, counting the days when I can do service for this meeting. And anyway, so what it says, and just kind of piggybacking on what the last share was, that on page 100 in the big book, it says, when these instructions, both you and a new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When you look back, we realize that things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. It says, follow the dictates of a higher power and you'll presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. And so, and what we heard this morning is this recovered member of AA being willing to talk to the doctors and giving such a beautiful rendition of his recovery to the doctors that they were convinced, you know, the doctor and the psychiatrist. A psychiatrist. So, and that's, you know, it also speaks of Evie who came to see Bill. You know, you're just yourself, but you're your recovered self, and that we really have something to show to another person, and you can hear it on the phone, and when we're privileged to be able to see it, we get to see it. And no matter what our miserable way with food was before, it can become, we can be happy, joyous, and free. We can be sane with food. And I love that sharing in that surrender school. Like, he chose sanity with food. And with that, I'll pass. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Joan R. from Oregon. We'll wrap up the meeting now so we can get newcomers' names and numbers. And I would like to thank our readers again, Terry H. on the 12 steps, Rhonda R. on the traditions, Barbara W. on the text, Dana P. with page 164, and Shelley E. as my backup, and Jody E. as the newcomer greeter, and Eileen with announcements. We will now close the meeting with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good. Good morning, Alice. Good morning, my fellows. What a wonderful meeting. Just like to take a moment for the still suffering out there and here on the line. This is Dana P. Just take a moment. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditations what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.